I have a good question.
You do?
How long is a furlong?
Furlong is 1/8 of a mile.
There you go. Well, you do know your stuff. All right, well, I'll give you the book.
So you must have just randomly selected one.
Well, I did. Just, yeah.
See, if you go in sequence, then things get a lot nastier.
You know when they go, so I'll just...
Yeah. Well, let's see what we have in order here. You ready?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. For 10 minutes.
How did tennis get the terms seeded and love?
Seated?
Seeded. You know, first number one seed.
Okay, yeah. Hmm. Are we on the air right now?
I hope so. I mean, if not, we got dead air. There'd be things
hello out there.
firing off all over the place, yeah.
So, well, seated and love. That's, man. I know the terms.
You've seen them on TV, huh?
Yeah, well, I played a little tennis. Love. Love is zero, which is, you wouldn't think love would be nothing. Love would be something. But apparently,
you hope?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I understand. And seated, that's a stumper.
All right.
Yeah.
Tennis was popularized by the French nobility.
Okay.
And because a zero looks like an egg, that's what they called it. Egg in French is,
au revoir.
L-O-E-U-F. Do you know French?
I thought it was au revoir, okay, but that's close.
Which became love in English. The seeding or placing of the best players within favorable tournament positions required other players to graciously seed, yield, or give up their spots. In time, the word mutated to the spelling of its homonym, seed, S-E-E-D, and so players were said to be seated.
Okay, I'm not really satisfied with that one. That's
you're gonna call into question that one, huh?
That's very detailed to yell. Look that up.
Oh, gee. So how was 2023?
Well, it was calmed down. The market, if you're talking about real estate market?
Yeah.
Okay. The real estate market was... started to calm down then. We have had a rise, and oddly enough, through the COVID period. From 20, right around 20 when they announced it, was that March of 20?
Yeah.
They said, lock it up. From there until middle of in June of 2022. So 2.5 years, the prices just kept going up and up and up. It was quite a...
In Humboldt County or across the country?
Yeah, I'm looking at Humboldt County, but I think it was statewide too. I mean, certainly are markets that don't do that. But
right, I was saying the metropolitan areas.
Yeah,
at least what seemed to be on the street.
If I can give you a number, so you'll know, our average sales price, median sales price was 3.25 in the summer of January 20. And it went all the way to 465.
So about a 50% increase.
It was a big number.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then.
Was that surprising? Based on the cultural pressures that were in play at that point? Because we also were coming off the fires in the middle of the state.
Maybe that was it. We thought that. We did. You got a good point. We thought that the people were running away from fires to get over to the coast where... We don't have a reputation for fires. We have rain all the time.
We smolder like bejeebers, but we don't seem to catch fire.
Like today, rain. I mean, so we think that was I had Paradise buyers. I heard of several Paradise buyers. As you know, that was a total and unfortunate, tragic disaster there. And some of them were moved out. We wanted to get away from that.
What about the Santa Rosa fires? I mean, that was... A little closer to home in Lake County, where it kind of ran through. Did most of those folks rebuild, or did we see some of that migration?
I can't say that migration? I have anecdotes that talked about the Santa Rosa people coming our way. I don't have anything to tell you there as to that. And we didn't do a good job of tracing where all buyers were. You had out of town buyers and you had in town buyers, and that's what we had. But out of town buyers will tend to drive the market up. The normal changes in housing are when there is a baby or perhaps when there is a death. And that number used to be 600 babies a year, 600 deaths a year. And those are the kind of things that brought around the 1,000 or so houses a year that we would sell. But when you add to it people who have money from a Bay Area and move in, or people who got insurance money and they come in, they drive, they add to the supply demand, they add to the demand, and it drives the price up.
Now, there were a lot of different studies, Mark, that have been showing that there's 5,000 to 7,000 shortage of homes, or dwelling units, I guess, is the equivalent. Is that still the case? Are those pressures still out there for that?
In our little old county?
In our county. Or do you sense that they're there?
Well, I know that we have supposed to build category new housing 5 to 600, but we've never done that, not in the years. And so, yeah, if you add that up, I'm sure it could be still that. I don't know that number.
I'm kind of that curious.
Five thousand number.
Yeah, with the low rent and fixed income and the government subsidized building that is going on.
Yep.
Danny Johnson, Steve Strombeck, and a couple of others. If those are catching up quickly, reducing the pressures. Or if those are just certain segments of the marketplace and the existing pressures still are existing in single-family homes or duplexes, but this is taking care of just some of the poundage, if you will.
Well, I have a graph here that might help explain it, and that is that in 2023, the prices dropped about $37,000, I call it $4,000, the medium sales price. Which means
1%?
About that. So, which means that the demand slowed down, and if demand slows down, the supply was there enough to provide the housing. Although we have been slow on sales. So, for example, we go back to that. Are you breaking here?
Well, the duck has flown, so actually kind of waddled across.
Well, let's save that very exciting piece of information.
Fair enough.
After your commercials.
All right. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Mark Mattioli, partner at Benchmark Realty. I guess broker.
You broke your pen?
No. Actually, I wrote off the paper under the counter. That's why I was kind of cleaning it up there. But I use pencil.
Oh, I
see. And that way, if I make a mistake,
you can erase it.
Yes. I learned that one after about 35 years. Amazing. Now, what are some of the challenges that are out there right now, Mark, for either people considering buying, considering selling property?
Well, let me finish what we were talking about. We're talking about the change in the market, how it had really risen.
I figure they were related.
Yes, well, it's going to lead to that.
Yeah, okay.
From the middle of January 2020, all the way till toward the end of 2023, the prices climbed remarkably fast. But now it has finally, what looks like, reached a peak and has started to go downward again. So, for example, at the beginning of the year, I think we had a $435,000 average or median price, and now it's closer to $430,000. So that's a calming down of the market. And some of the reasons are the big insurance issue. And you mentioned it there. So I think that's one of the probably the largest component. Interest rates didn't help, but they are calming. They're going back to a reasonable number, but they had climbed and got close to 8. Right now, it's close to 6. Some are even getting it on the good side of 6. So there's some good news for buyers. And when you have good news for buyers, it drives demand. And when you drive demand, you also drive price, and a little bit you drive supply. We know that people have held off selling. Don't list that house because you're not going to get it. It's a bad market, you know, that sort of thing. Interest rates are high. And so with interest rates dropping, a few more people put their properties on the market. Currently, it is showing a teeny increase from 958 houses on the market for the year to 970. Or excuse me, that's the wrong one. The number of average. Well, I was looking at solds there, but I think the my last look at it was like there was 420 houses on the market. It's now got down to 350 or so. So the supply definitely is declined, but when buyers are starting to show back up again and they know they can afford it based on interest rates, the market will show that, and we'll see that improvement. But the one we're leading up to...
You're A word there, affordability. Yeah. And I think a lot of folks, there's a temptation to think, okay, affordability is the house payment. Well, you've got taxes.
Yes.
Okay, that's part of it. And you have insurance also.
That's the one.
That are part of it. It's that nut.
I think people, of course, we're involved in it all the time, but I think the insurance question is really the ugly gorilla in the room. Is that what we use? Yeah, ugly gorilla in the room.
Ugly, big, and mean gorilla.
Yeah, this one is. When you hear stories that, they could get insurance, but it's not going to be $1,800. It's going to be $14,000. That's a deadly number.
Deal breaker.
And it is. And they're the California offered a fair plan. It's not fair at all. There's nothing fair about it. What's really going on there is there are price controls throughout. Government controls prices in many ways, and in the insurance industry. And they felt that they should control the insurance rates. And so rates had a limit. Unfortunately, there was some very, you mentioned this earlier, there's some very bad things happened. When 3,500 houses burned down in Santa Rosa, and then and hundreds burned down more in Paradise and over in the Red Bluff area and that like that, and then fires burn all around Redding, and, it's just... Those are extreme issues. And so if insurance companies cannot raise their rates enough to cover those losses, they did the one thing that you can do.
Say goodbye.
They said goodbye. The biggest company, State Farm, left. That's just a remarkable event. And then the other one, Farmers, also a big company. They left. A couple others did too. And the only thing that's really going to draw them back is when this insurance commissioner opens the price demand, price controls some, and lets them get what would be a reasonable return so they can afford to pay the losses and make a little profit. And that does require increases. But if the increases were across the board, it's not going to be 14,000. The 14,000 are those few unfortunate people who have decided to buy a house right now. But if the spread of the losses was over the millions of people who have a house in California, and those people say pay 100 extra a year or 200, I think the problem will be solved. But the insurance commissioner won't let them raise that big rate like that. That's it. Listen to Mattioli. I think I got political there. Sorry, Brian.
No, but that's we voted in this position called the insurance commissioner.
Yeah, we did.
To, in theory,
protect us.
Yes, and keep prices down. Yeah. Well, okay, so prices are down. We didn't. Yeah. Nobody thought about taking that next step and what the marketplace permits.
And it's extremely bad in country property. If you have a tree near you, you're really in trouble. In town, Eureka, Arcata, Fortuna, it's not a big issue. It is an issue, but the rural properties, it's very difficult.
Has there been any change, Mark, in... Okay, fine, another cliffhanger. Ooh, we dance close to the edge on this show all the time. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with realtor, broker, partner.
Long time.
Old guy, Mark Mattioli.
Thank you.
Yeah, I subscribe to that. As you're looking at real estate purchasing now, it's a little bit different. We kind of touched a little bit on the fire insurance mm-hmm. before, but we've got fire, we've got taxes, we've got PG&E. And we've got, let's call it bank payment, for lack of a better reference. When people are doing their cost analysis mm-hmm. or affordability analysis, mm-hmm. do they tend to consider all things plus a little bit of maintenance? Or are they looking at that monthly nut going, hmm?
Quite often it happens when they walk in to see their mortgage banker or mortgage broker or even banker, and he lays out the interest rate, and oh my gosh, is it really that much? People don't, they just look at the number and don't add up what the total thing might be. And then the discussion of, insurance and mortgage cost are quite often, that's where they get qualified. They know how to qualify, and they qualify, and they have to use those numbers. I have had whiny, unfortunate phone calls from a lender saying, Mark, we just can't qualify this guy. This is a rural property, and it's going to cost $15,000 a year. That's just ridiculous, you know, that to pay that much. It just cuts it out. So it has been a serious number, a serious thing. As you know, last year we got thrown, if you were in the city of Eureka and Arcata and Ferndale, the sewer lateral issue, which can be $15,000. Start adding these things up. That tended to be and tends to be a seller side, a cost for the seller to pay, and we tend to negotiate it that way and throw it into the escrow. But this one is buyer, and that's the insurance. They're going to be the guy paying that loan. So it is a serious matter, but we have heard that the insurance commissioner has received or the state has received pressure regarding this, that it's not unknown throughout the state that where you have forests nearby, the cost of insurance is really prohibitive for buying a house and shut it down. Do they want to shut it down? I don't know.
Is home ownership, do you sense from your state organization, a goal
for
the state government, or is it just it's a non-factor for them?
Well, the homeowner provides stability to a community. For example, governments would like to have fewer rentals, more owner-occupied. So in Trinidad, as an example, they want to shut down the vacation rentals. Vacation rentals end up, you have a neighborhood with 100 houses, and if 40 of them are tenant-occupied, the community doesn't have voters, it doesn't have people who might go and be on the city council. There's a lack of sense of community. So there is a limit as to how much that kind of vacation rentals there should be. In fact, it's being discussed, as you know, in the county here about how many people could have. They can only have three. So they can't have a giant corporation. Do we use the word giant corporation a lot? Most people do, don't they? We can't have a giant corporation come in and own 75 here and 100 there. It really affects the community. It's an aesthetic.
It's almost a destabilizing factor,
I could say.
But you also have to have reasons for people to live in those communities. This gets back to the economic engines that are in the area.
Right.
So it's an interesting dichotomy. But
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But housing, I think, is being recognized more and more now as one of the basic fundamental underpinnings of a community. Where before,
I'm glad to hear that, because there was a time, and I mean, 20, 30 years ago, that the homeowner was desired. He or she was a voter, and they were concerned about the community, and they showed interest when issues came up, and they came forward at meetings, and you could hear from them.
But it's tougher to pass bonds and taxes if people are looking at the whole lifetime of these things rather than the 6 months when they're there, and then they're going to move on to somewhere else. Sure, we can do that. That feels good.
Keep bringing up new issues, Brian. Come on. Just stick to what we're talking about. Anyway, yes.
Well, it's just interesting, all these various things, interesting to me at least, all these various things that enter into this equation of can you, do you want to, purchase a home in community X, Y, or in Z. It's probably stuff that you guys deal with all the time, though.
Yeah.
Have the decision-making factors changed for most consumers, Mark, in the last 10 years?
It can be many things. I have a customer from Texas, and they want to move to Ferndale. They have...
Wait, that's backwards.
It is, yes.
Okay.
But we want to do Ferndale because it's a small town where it's, you know, like you say, owner-occupied people. There's a sense of community. That's what they want. They want Junior to be able to ride his bike to school and that sort of thing. So different communities have different draws. But we Humboldt County has, I think, a big draw. And that is that we don't have fires, big fires. We are... small townish. There used to be, we had an economist tell us when we were doing economic development issues about, when we were back in those days, that it was human scale. Eureka is human scale. It doesn't have eight-story buildings in the neighborhoods. You walk around, you get to see, and people like that. They're drawn to that. Is San Jose or San Francisco human scale? I don't think so. It has a feeling that you're lost as a person within that community. Well, we're getting into deep subjects now.
I
sell real estate, but anyway.
But that kind of rolls into the discussion that Eureka has got with these parking lot issues the verticality and wanting to have some of those things. I presume that the association hasn't taken a position on this, because it is kind of a lightning rod issue.
Yeah.
But as you're talking about the verticality of a community, that's what this stuff is leaning into.
Mr. Mattioli has a strong opinion about an eight-story building in a very small community like that. I think it disrupts the feeling that neighborhood, that town has. I'm against it. Sorry. There is a need. Excuse me, I got a cough. There is a need.
Well, in addition to that, and one of the questions I've had is, we don't have condominiums here.
Well, we have a few, but it hasn't been a rage for sure.
Is it because the marketplace doesn't want it, or because the permitting process and the zoning process don't make it pencil out?
I think it's the marketplace. People, with a family, they would really prefer to have a single-family detached home. That is the strong demand.
Sure. But if you can't afford it.
Yes. If you can't afford it. But that is, it's like, it's a move downward, really. I want to have my own home. Let's just wait. We'll find one. That sort of thing.
So rather than jumping in the river and going down a little bit, they would rather save their money and then...
And condos have their own particular buyer, too. It tends to be single people where they're comfortable with having other people around. And that, you know, Price is Right to, but generally a small family or a growing family would like to have their own house.
Yeah, the early family.
With yeah. a yard.
Right. Get somewhere for a swing
set. It's a strong feeling.
Yeah. So it's just
no,
isn't.
It's just there and it is real.
And in the metropolitan areas, it just isn't feasible. So that's why
yeah, right.
condominiums occur there.
Right. If you're headed toward San Francisco or the Bay Area, it's quite common that you want that big job. And they really do have wonderful, high paying technical jobs and other. You know, that's what you.
Other things that we don't qualify for.
Yeah, good yeah. spot. Yeah. Oops.
So, do you see the marketplace here in real estate changing fundamentally in 10 or 15 years or over a 10 or 15 year window? Or are we going to have more of what we have now?
Gee, I like it. I like the question. Let me just tell you, I was out at Fields Landing yesterday, and I took a ride up to Loma Hill, which is a hill overlooking the lower Humboldt Hill, overlooking that area. And I saw the what used to be Eureka Fisheries there in Fields Landing, and Fields Landing and King Salmon, excuse me, Fields Landing. And it's pretty well gone backwards. It's not as active as a – you used to have a fishing – I'm saying, wow, is there someday in my lifetime some developer's going to look at that and say, wow, bay frontage. I could build giant condominiums right there. I mean, I thought of this
right.
overlooking that. There's a big piece of flat ground. I'll buy it. It's commercial now. I'll convert it and get it rezoned. Is that going to happen? Am I going to turn around and, you know. So anyway, we have, there's many open opportunities for that. Will it happen? Could happen. Could happen.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:50. We're back talking shop this morning with Mark Mattioli, broker, realtor.
Benchmark Realty. Can I say that?
Yeah, I think we've said it a couple of times. Yeah. I was going to say extraordinaire, but.
Well, thank you. Go ahead and please say extraordinaire.
No. If folks are interested in either listing or purchasing with today's climate, with these costs that we've kind of touched on, some of the challenges that are there, what do you recommend their initial first couple of steps? What homework would you have them do at
I think we tell
the
them
early stages?
Once they've gotten, you know, we have a conversation, what do you like, where would you like to go? Well, let me tell you, quite often people are eyes bigger than their stomach and champagne.
Taste, beer, budget. Yeah.
But so you get there, but we'd like to introduce them to a lender if they don't have one already. And get the real numbers and have them sit down there. I think 2024, this is it, second day of the year, is going to be a good year for real estate in Humboldt County. I think they're going to solve this insurance problem within 6 months, and I think interest rates are going to get below 6 again. And, they may tinker around with 5%, which is just a remarkable rate, just really a remarkable rate. When we had people who got it at 3 or even 2.25%, that's just not real, and it won't stay. Nothing like that could stay.
That's the problem. Is that's our reference point.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, my brother, I got 2%. Well, that was an unreal thing.
Yeah, once every 100 years.
Yeah, once every who knows.
Hopefully.
But anyway, 2024 will be, I think, a good year. I think the insurance issues will be solved, and I think rates will be good. Those are two big factors. And then, of course, we still do have things like that come up in a community, and it's the right thing to do. If our wastewater systems with clay pipe leak and affect our groundwater, we can't do that. We should correct it. City
yeah,
really
but that's
that.
But that's the government's responsibility under government land. I mean, for us to pay for a street to be repaved, that's
we
pay that with taxes.
Yeah, I had one done, and there's this really cool machine. They don't tear up a strip of pipe out to the connection. Yeah. They have this vacuum thing, giant vacuum machine that they put water down there, and they suck earth and gravel up into the into this giant tank that it has. It's got a name, but I can't think of it. Vacuum, whatever. And so they it's a relatively small hole. Then they connect the pipe.
And they shoot the
pipeline.
Yeah, shoot
the pipe in there. In yeah. So anyway, there's that part's being done and being done a lot because we do have a lot of clay pipe in Eureka, California. When your average home is over 60 years old, that's when they were doing it.
Lots of pipe. Well, and I'm sure Arcade and Fortuna have their fair share
they do,
as well.
Yes, yeah.
McKinleyville, maybe not so much.
Yeah,
I don't think the cow fields that were there.
If I could say that, I think really I'm looking forward to 2024 as an active year. Will prices go climbing up again? They might, but I think we're going to recover from what looks to be a small decline in prices and demand.
Well, I think affordability is the key. Whether
affordability.
It's
there you go.
Yeah, if the rates go down, but so do the prices. Okay. Great.
So I have a positive attitude. Please come on down if you're a buyer. Good time to buy. If you're a seller, I think we're going to have buyers. Go ahead and put that house on the market.
But pre-qualify if you can, or at least talk to your financials.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Good idea. Thank you, Brian, for helping me through my real estate career today. I appreciate it.
That would be extraordinaire, Mark Mattioli. See everybody tomorrow.